times past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. He saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they any thing to any man, for they were afraid. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a beautiful day. Thank you for the gift of life, and thank you for the health and the ability to be able to get up this morning, to be able to come to church. And Lord, we thank you that we still have this freedom, this privilege, this opportunity. Lord, it seems like as we go further along, more and more people care less and less about your house. And I'm so thankful, Lord, that we still have a place where we can come and meet. Thankful, Lord, that there are people that will be faithful. And Lord, thankful that we can open your word and read the truth and understand the kind of people you'd have us be. Lord, help us today in this service and the services to come. Bless our time together. Bless our fellowship. And Lord, when we all leave here today, I pray that we can say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I believe all of us know that we are here on this day and at this time because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day out of every year, we take time to celebrate what is likely the most significant event in human history. But the truth of the matter is, the resurrection is something that should be real to us every day of the year, not just one day out of the year. And I often feel like we don't emphasize the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ nearly enough. But I do appreciate the fact that we still have this day and this time set aside for this purpose. In just a few minutes, we're going to go next door and we're going to have some breakfast and enjoy some good fellowship. But before we do that, I want us to spend a little bit of time this morning looking here at Mark chapter 16, the verses we read. And I want to speak for just a few minutes about the first disciples. And I want to say that all four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all give their own inspired accounts of the resurrection. And as I've mentioned to you numerous times before, you would do yourself a great service to read all four of those accounts. That way you can get a complete, or at least a more complete, picture of the resurrection. But in all four accounts, in all four gospel accounts, we see that the first disciples to discover and announce the resurrection were women. If you look right here in the Gospel of Mark chapter 16 in verse 1, you see that it was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and from the other accounts, it appears that there were other women present as well. But these women were the first of the Lord's disciples to actually discover and then later on announce the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to look here with me at Mark chapter 16 and notice just a couple of things, a couple of main things about these women. First of all, I want us to look there at verses 1 through 6 and notice how they came to the sepulcher. How they came to the sepulcher. First of all, I want you to look at verse 2 and notice that they came early. They came early. The Bible says in verse number 2, and very early in the morning, the first day of the week. That would be Sunday, obviously. But they came very early in the morning. It says on in that verse, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. So it tells you that they came very early, and then it tells you just how early they came. They came at the rising of the sun, just as the sun is rising on that first day of the week. That's when these ladies came to the sepulcher. And what that shows me, anyway, is that the Lord was a priority for these women. It shows me that he was on their mind and on their heart, and they wanted to get to that sepulcher just as soon as they possibly could. I've learned one thing from my own life and from the lives of others through these years, and that is the fact that when something or someone is a priority in our lives, we're always willing to make sacrifices. We're always willing to do without certain things or go the extra mile or even endure certain discomforts if something is a priority. I was thinking about this in how it applies to me and to other people that I know. Most all of you know that one thing I enjoy doing is going deer hunting. And I know this is turkey season. A lot of people turkey hunt. I don't care anything about turkey other than eating it. That's what I like about turkey. But a lot of people turkey hunt, and I know in my own life, thinking back the years, the times that I've got up way before daylight. And God knows my heart, I'd have just soon stayed to bed. But I get up way before daylight. Turkey hunters get up way before daylight, and we'll either be up in a tree or sitting at the base of the tree when the sun rises in the morning. We're willing to sacrifice that what might be much-needed sleep so we can do what it is we enjoy doing. You know why we're willing to do that? Because it's a priority in our lives. It's something we enjoy. It's something we love, so we're willing to do that. Think of the times you've driven hours and miles from your home to some place that you wanted to go. You were willing to make that sacrifice to leave early, to burn the gas, to spend the day just going somewhere because that's something you wanted to do. You enjoyed doing it. It was a priority in your life. And what I'm saying is that whenever something is a priority, we're willing to do things that might put ourselves out so we can enjoy whatever that is. But the problem with us, though, is that more times than not, our priorities are more of a carnal nature than they are a spiritual nature. When you look at this story right here, you see that these women had the Lord Jesus Christ as the priority in their lives. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with enjoying other things, but how many of you understand this morning that the ultimate priority, the supreme priority in your life today, especially as a saved person, ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. And it's amazing to me how we'll make other things more of a priority. You take folk that'll do some of the stuff that I just talked about. They'll get up before daylight, and some of it has to do not just with hunting or fishing or going shopping. Maybe it's to go to a job, a workplace, whatever the case, but then they can't make it to Sunday school. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Wouldn't dare be late for work, but ain't been to Sunday school in 5 years. Amen. Amen. Priority. What is the priority? the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross and rose again so that we wouldn't have to go to hell, ought to be the priority in our lives above everything else. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves when we make anything else or any other person more of a priority than him. He ought to be the priority. And you know how you can tell if he is the priority? Well, you'll be able to tell by the way you live your life. That's how you'll know. That's how you'll know. They came early. But I show you something else here about these ladies. They also came expecting. Not only early, but they came expecting. And I don't mean they came expecting to find the Lord resurrected, because they didn't. That's not what they came there expecting to find. They came there expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that because in verse 1 it says they had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. If they believed they were going to come and find him resurrected, they would not have bothered to buy spices and come there for the purpose of anointing him. They didn't believe that that's what they were going to discover. They believed they would come and find his body. And as they went, you see there in verse 3 and 4 that they're talking about who's going to roll the stone away. They're not expecting to find the stone rolled away and the Lord gone. They're expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus. Even though the Lord had told them numerous times, not just them, but many of his disciples, that he would die and that he would be raised the third day, they still did not believe what he had said. So they came expecting to find the body. But another thing I see here is they came entering. Verse number 5 says, and entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. From Luke's account of this, we know there were two. But Mark only tells us about one young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. They were scared, in other words. And here's the good news they got. Have you ever had the Lord surprise you? You're expecting one thing and then he does something completely different. And what he does is so much better than what you had initially expected. Well, that's kind of the situation. They came there expecting to find the body of the Lord Jesus. Well, when they walk up, the stone is rolled away. They look in, they see a young man sitting there, but you know who they don't see? They don't see the one they expected to see. They don't see the Lord Jesus. They're surprised, no doubt, by what happened here. He saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. That is ultimately why you and I have hope today. Because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Had they found his body as they expected to, none of us would have hope today. None of us. Praise the Lord for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have hope this morning. But here's the second thing. I want to move on and I want to talk for just a minute about how they left the sepulcher. That's how they came. How did they leave? Well, first of all, they left with amazement. Amazement. Verse number 8 says, and they went out quickly and fled from the sepulcher, for they trembled and were amazed. We might say they were blown away. Literally blown away by all that they had just seen and all that they had heard. So they leave with amazement. The Lord's able to do that. He's just able to do things that are absolutely amazing. In fact, the Bible says that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Has the Lord ever amazed you? He has amazed me so many times through the years. Just the unbelievable things, the unexpected things that I have witnessed the Lord do. And of course, the greatest amazement to me is the fact that he would even bother with me. The fact that he took the time to love me and to deal with me, to save me, to be my Savior, to be my friend. The fact that he would do that amazes me. It should amaze you that he would even be mindful of you. that he would even take the time. We are so egotistical and proud nowadays that we don't see it that way. It's almost like we think we're doing God a favor by choosing to be on his side. No. You're not doing God a favor. God did you a favor by even bothering with you. You know what we all deserved? I mean, let's be real about it. What did we deserve? Did we deserve him to love us? Did we deserve him to die for us? Did we deserve him to take the time to send somebody our way to give us the gospel so we could be saved? We didn't deserve any of that. We deserved to die lost and miserable and burn in hell. That's what we deserved. I'm amazed, friend, that the Lord would do what he has done for me in my life. They left with amazement. They left afraid, verse number 8. It says they trembled, and the end of that verse said they were afraid. Afraid. They were afraid because of what they'd seen. Really, it was amazing, and they're probably afraid that maybe everything that they just saw and heard wasn't real. Just so many questions, no doubt, in their mind, still even at this point. They're still fearful about this. But here's the thing that amazes me about the Lord. They were afraid. And if you go back and you read Matthew's account of this, Matthew chapter 28, it says in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 10 that as they were going from the sepulcher, you know who appeared to them? The Lord Jesus appeared to them. And you know what he said to them first of all? These were the words that he said to them first of all. He said, "Be not afraid." What was the first thing he said to them? You know what that shows me? It shows me that he knew how they felt. He knew what was going on in their mind and their heart at this time. And he met them in the way and addressed how they were feeling at the time. And that's just how the Lord is. He knows how we feel all the time. He knows if we're happy. He knows if we're sad. He knows if we're afraid. He knows if we're confused. He knows if we're hurting. He knows exactly how we feel all the time. And the Bible says that he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He cares about how we feel. He cares about what's going on in our lives. And because he is alive, here's the really good news, he can take care of how we feel. He can minister to us and help us however it is that we're feeling, whatever it is that we're going through. The Lord's able to do that. Here's the last thing I want you to see. They left the sepulcher with an assignment, something to do. Lord gave them some homework. Whenever I was in school many years ago, we'd go to school all day. We got out of school, had to come home and do homework. Teachers, Miss Rosalind, you know what I'm talking about. Miss Kathy, Brother Harold, y'all did some teaching. Give those assignments to do at home. Just for the record, I hated that. Didn't appreciate it one bit. Well, you sit in class all day long, and you grow up in the country like I did, the last thing you wanted to do was come home and have to sit in the house for 3 more hours doing aggravating homework. And the way my mother was, here was the rule. You don't get to go out and play or do nothing until you do all your homework. And I didn't appreciate that either. That's the way it was. You get those assignments, stuff to do when you leave school, okay? They tell you when you leave, this is what I want you to do while you're at home. Well, look here in this passage. They come to the sepulcher and they're there. And they get some good news while they're there. The Bible says, verse 7, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him as he said unto you." You know what that young man did there? He gave them an assignment, something to do when they left the sepulcher. And what was the assignment? Well, really it involved two things. Verse 7, "But go your way, tell his disciples. That was basically the assignment, go and tell, go and tell. Does that sound familiar? Go and tell. Isn't that the same assignment that all of us have been given? Look right here in the same chapter, and we fix to be done, verse 15. Just before the Lord goes back to heaven, he says unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Same assignment, go and tell. Just a quick question. When was the last time you told anyone about your resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? That's the assignment. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time, this opportunity. Lord, please bless your word now and later as we come back for our services. Bless the fellowship. Lord, I'm so thankful this morning that I have hope in my heart. Thankful that you died on the cross for my sins. Thankful that you love me. Thankful, Lord, that you sent somebody to give me the gospel, that somebody obeyed the assignment, that they came to where I was and told me about you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for salvation, for heaven is my home. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here now or anyone that comes later that does not have this hope, that this day would be their day of salvation. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.